Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Natalie and I, and we're going to be talking through things that need to be normalized. Who knows how many of these things we'll get into. We'll probably add in more, so I didn't want to assign that specific number. I imagine we'll probably end up at like 69, but we'll see how things go. I think this is just such an important part, though. I see this a lot in comparison to your own coach, honestly, where I think that a lot of times when you as a client are working with a coach, it is so easy to compare. I'm struggling with this thing, but I don't think my coach does. Or I see like these transformations that they posted, and there's no way those people have struggled with the same things that I do. So I think that talking about like the challenges and like how normal they are is such an important part of you being successful. And again, not like none of this is to like normalize low standards are just like, yeah, so that's like, don't, again, I think that sometimes that can be like a cop out to, we still want to make sure that your actions are in alignment with your goals, whatever they are. But at the same time, I think that understanding how normal these things are is actually so beneficial for helping people ultimately achieve what they want. Anything to add there, Natalie, before we get into it?
I think that struggling with things, whatever they are, can sometimes feel very isolating. And you can feel very, even if you're working with a coach, you can feel very alone, you know, and very like, I'm the only one that struggles with this. So this episode is really about, no, you're not. You're in good company. That doesn't mean that we can't work through it. That's what coaching is. But you don't need to feel bad or wrong or like you, there's something wrong with you if you struggle with some of these things, because like I said, you're in good company.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into it. What would you say is the first thing that needs to be normalized?
Mistakes. They're going to happen.
What do you like care to elaborate?
Nope, that's it. Mistakes, like messing up, you know, like, you could have the best plan ever and for whatever reason, not execute it, you know, or maybe you messed up your macros. Maybe you messed up your day of eating. Maybe, you know, you got really busy and, you know, and went to the gym for your training and had to skip half your workout because you didn't have time. Like, these things are just going to happen.
Absolutely.
But mistakes are always the jumping off point for growth and a lesson. Always. Yeah. Right? How could we have avoided this? How could we maybe do better next time? How can we re-strategize? Like, what led to this happening? And I think also just normalizing, which I feel like someone wants to count the number of times we say normalize in this episode.
It'll probably be like 69 times.
Oh my God, I am on a roll today. But, you know, mistakes are just inevitable. So let's just take perfection off the table from the beginning.
Yeah. I think mistakes are synonymous with challenges. Mm-hmm. And challenges are literally the stimulus for growth. I think people, when we're talking mistakes, it's so funny how it's never like, I failed that last rep of leg press. That was a mistake. No one's ever like that. It's like, I was pushing myself outside of what I'm currently adapted to and what I can currently do. And that challenge is what's going to allow me to grow in the future. Whereas people don't look at nutrition like that, right? Where it's, or the other areas outside of really resistance training like that, where it's really all the same, right? Where us experiencing like challenges and difficulties in your journey, it's a good sign that it's working and we're doing something different. You're outside of your comfort zone. You're taking on new and challenging things. That's literally what's required for growth. It's not a bad thing, right? Where if it was just like, hey, every client we work with, all they needed was the right macros and the right training program, and they just crush and see crazy progress, there wouldn't even be a need for coaches. That's not how it works in the real world. We're working through those challenges is how we get there. Right. But if you look at it as like those challenges or mistakes I'm making, those are failure, we're never going to get there. This is so important to understand. It's literally, again, it's the exact same thing. I've used this analogy so many times, but I'm going to use it again. Right. Like, let's say your goal is to be able to leg press 300 pounds. And let's say like you're starting at a point where you can do 100 pounds. All right. So you trying and failing to get like 200 pounds, 250 pounds, 300 pounds. If the first time it was like, I can't do 300 pounds, so I'm never going to get there, I'm just going to quit. If that was your attitude, like, we would never get there, right? Where
and
literally
you'd have small quads.
And you would have small quads.
Like the worst of everything.
Literally, that, like, you trying and failing is actually the stimulus is required for you to ultimately get there. And we need to take that same approach with these other areas outside of just our work in the gym. It's just so important. Anything else to add there?
If you are making mistakes, it means that you're challenging yourself.
Right. Right.
And that's a good thing. If you're not making mistakes, then you probably should be challenging yourself.
Yeah. And again, like, we want to make sure you are challenging yourself. And there is a fine line between I am trying extremely hard and being intentional about this, because we also have to be able to use that as like, what can I improve and do better going forward? We have to also like take some time to discuss this with your coach, talk through. If we're in a place where I'm making the same mistake over and over and over again, and honestly, even that is like, oftentimes it is like, hey, we made this mistake, or I struggled to manage the situation. Next time it comes up, I still feel like I struggled, but it was a little bit better and a little bit better, right? Oftentimes things where it's like, these are deeply ingrained habits and patterns from years and years. It takes some time to undo and change those. It is still important though to like, hey, if it's like, it's been a year of or 2 years, whatever it is, of I'm just doing the same thing over and over. And like, we have to make sure we're being intentional about still trying to improve, but such an important part. All right, next up, cravings. I think this is a very, very common one. A lot of times people think there's something wrong with them if they have cravings, or like they should never experience like cravings for X food. Like, I'm craving like X sugary food or ice cream or whatever it is. That is just such a normal thing for everyone. Like, I so often think of whatever, pizza, and I still eat pizza. Of course, it's not like I never eat pizza or anything of the sort. Can I eat as much as I would like? Like, I love pizza. Like, I would eat like a pizza for breakfast every day.
I did not know that about you.
Really? Hmm. I mean, I like food. I like food in general, but like some like New York style pizza, I'm a big fan. Have you ever had Grimaldi's?
No.
That's like a pizza. I mean, I think it's everywhere. I really like Grimaldi's. Anyways, moving on from that. Again, I think a lot of times people think like, okay, I'm at the start of my journey and I'm doing well on my diet, but shit, suddenly I have these cravings, right? And this is, there's something wrong with me. Like, we need to fix these cravings. We need to change this, right? Where no, that's normal. You will always, I really look at it almost like, look at the other areas in your life when we have cravings. So I think like with spending money is another good example, right? So if you like see like, I don't know, maybe you're super into cars and you see like a Range Rover drive by. I don't know if people are super into cars or into Range Rovers, but if you're super into looking wealthy and you see a Range Rover drive by, and it's like, oh, I have a craving to buy one of those, right? But it doesn't mean like you right away go out and buy a Range Rover. It's normal to want these things that are appealing for whatever reason. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to like give into it. But again, I think it's like, so like, look at it, how you spend money, right? Where it's, there are so many things that I have the desire to, but is it within my budget? Is this reasonable? Is this within my goals? And I think that it's because like the actual cost we, and again, it's not bad to spend on those things. Again, if you're okay with it, same, but I think like the actual cost when we're looking at like food, right? It's like, okay, well, it's a lot different, of course, than like buying a Range Rover with the like, right? If it's like, I'm splurging here, or like I'm giving, quote unquote, giving into this craving, like how we look at it is much different. But again, it's very similar to like, it's normal to experience those things. And it doesn't mean that we have to necessarily honor that.
I think that a lot of people think that when they work with a nutrition coach and, you know, they're going to come out the other end, like purified, you yeah. know, and, oh, I'm just like never going to crave these things. And then like, that's just not true. So even like, if you're not dieting, even if you're a mm-hmm. maintenance or a surplus, I mean, we're surrounded by delicious food. Oh, like, yeah. you know, I mean, man, my Instagram, like I follow so many like food accounts you know? And yeah, I know. And it's like, it's like, it's food porn, right? You know, and you're scrolling and it's like, ooh, damn, that looks good. You know, it's just normal. Like now, you know, the more practice you have managing your nutrition and like really cueing into, you know, your own biofeedback and how food makes you feel, some of these decisions can get easier to make, you know, like, okay, I mean, this does look incredibly good, but you know, hey, maybe this isn't within my calorie budget right now and it's not worth it to me. Or like this makes me feel, you know, bloated and gassy after, and I'm, that's trade-off's not worth it. You know, but my point being is, yeah, you're still going to want delicious things.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't stop tasting good. Good food doesn't stop tasting good. And I think part of this too is, again, if you are someone who is, if you're constantly trying to diet, like I know when I'm dieting and like those, like I follow a lot of accounts that are like, this is the best whatever restaurant in Phoenix. And like, because it's so cool, it's such a big city that there's like so many like little hidden gems to constantly find. And that's when it's like, ooh, damn, I got to start like making a list of all these places. And then I always had to like catch myself with like, hey, there's going to be plenty of time for this. But I think it is so easy if you are constantly in like a dieting phase, where a lot of people are in a place where it's like, I'm always trying to diet. But then like a couple of days a week, it's like, I just make this list of all the things that I want to eat. And then I fall off. And then I like feel like it's just kind of cyclical over and over. Actually spending less time dieting, because again, it's not like any of these things are off limits. It depends on what phase we're in, where in that diet phase, we're probably going to be dialed in a little bit more. There'll be less room for these things. And the maintenance phases and those other phases, there is going to be more room for this to enjoy your life. Oftentimes like that makes it so much easier to just work these things in moderation. But as you said as well, like it's so normal. Like, for example, like recently when Katie's mom was here, she like brought home this like box of crumble cookies. And it was funny how I was like catching myself like going down there, breaking off a piece. And it's like, damn, like what is going on with me? Right. But it's just like, this is so good. Where that's not normally something that would happen. It's not because I just have iron willpower. It's just, I don't normally bring or get crumble cookies or bring them home to the house or anything of the sort. So because of that, but again, like when I'm around it, it's still very, very normal to want some, right? We're human. Again, like food doesn't stop tasting good. And it's okay to, again, like work those things in, but it's also, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. If it's like, oh shit, I should be like, don't tell yourself like, I should be better than this by now. I shouldn't want this. I think that's the biggest thing is like, it's so normal too. Anything else to add there?
Yeah. I will never not like look at ice cream and have an emotional visceral reaction.
Like, is ice cream like your dessert of choice out of 100%. Everything? What ice about like a cinnamon roll? Is that a dessert?
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, anything cinnamon related, a good cinny, like a sourdough cinnamon roll. Mm-hmm. But like, I'll never not, my point is like, I'll never not want one. I just don't necessarily always have one, you know? So like, nothing's wrong with me because I want a cinnamon roll. Like,
right.
So they're delicious. Like who wouldn't?
What do you got next?
Okay. Not feeling motivated all the time. This comes up a lot. It's totally normal not to feel motivated all the time. I see this a lot, mostly at maintenance, I'll say. There are a lot of really exciting things about being in a deficit. You know, you're seeing the scale go down, clothes are fitting better, you're feeling leaner. Maybe you're getting compliments from people like, hey, look really lean. You know, in a surplus, you know, maybe we're pushing the scale up. You're getting to eat a lot of food, probably have a little bit more food flexibility, like numbers at the gym are going up, like gains are happening, your lats are huge. And then there's, you know, good old maintenance, which, you know, I love, but it's normal to experience just some lags, you know, in motivation. Or I mean, honestly, even if you are in a deficit or a surplus and you go through periods of like not feeling motivated 100% of the time, no one can be motivated 100% of the time. That I can't think of anyone who would be. Most of what you see on social media or like, you know, people that always look like they're getting after it and they're like super excited about the process. Most of what you see is that they are just ticking their boxes.
Right.
You know, they're being consistent. And, you know, they have a trust and a faith in the process and they know that, you know, with experience by showing up every single day, doing these things, I'll eventually probably get to where I want to be. But absolutely no one goes through life motivated every single day, even for things that they love, jobs that they love, you know, like training, all things. So that's normal. There's nothing wrong with you. And sometimes I think the solution is to kind of just acknowledge it and sit with it versus like, oh man, there's like something that really needs to be done here. Like, I really need to fix this. I really need to find a way to be motivated. A lot of times the way to work through this is to just keep showing up, just keep doing the things that you know you need to do. And then next thing you know, like couple, maybe a week or two goes by and all of a sudden motivation's back.
Absolutely.
It's cyclical.
I think that's so important. I see. I know with like, I think the last point, especially around not getting in your head about it too much and not trying so hard to fix the like way you feel in itself is the most important part. That's something for with like work, where this is something that I'm really working on, because I do get super in my head about it when there are periods where it's like, man, I just don't feel like it today. I just don't feel like working. What's wrong with me? And I was like, do I need to like meditate more? Do I need to spend more time journaling around this? Do I need to like, whatever it is, like, what's wrong with me? Like, do I need to like figure out how to be more connected with my why or whatever it is? And it's funny how much like that doesn't help. Whereas for me, it's so helpful to just like, this is normal. I am human. And again, like to me, like it's, even if like your training, your nutrition is extremely routine and it doesn't like feel like it takes a lot of motivation, there's definitely other things that do. But again, I'm normal. This is human. It's not trying to spend so much time like, I need to completely change the way I'm thinking, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, it's okay. I can still take action. I am still a person who takes action and does a thing regardless of how I feel. And from there, it's almost always when we start acting in alignment with who we want to be, regardless if we're motivated or not, then you start to feel more motivated. Like, I know for me, then when it's like, okay, at the end of that day, I didn't feel it, but I still like challenged myself and I still did like a good day's work or even like half a day. Then it's like, oh, wow. Suddenly now I'm way more motivated. And I am more excited about this. I think that a lot of times it's like when we let ourselves get into too much of a slump with like, oh, I just don't feel like it and I'm not doing it. And then we don't do the thing. Then that leads to just less and less motivation. And like trying to fix the motivation in itself oftentimes isn't as helpful as just doing the thing. And then we get motivated and excited about it again. Cool. I think that weight increasing post diet is one that needs to be normalized as well. Now, the extent to which this happens, again, this will vary a lot, but specifically, I think that a lot of times people think, okay, I hit, and even like feeling a little bit fluffier post diet, I would say feeling a little fluffier post diet is like a better way to put this. So no matter what, like when we're done with a diet phase, after that, we are going to see your weight increase, right? We're not going to say like our lowest weight of the diet, you are not going to stick there. Now that doesn't mean you gain body fat, but we're eating more food. So we have literally more food in our belly. Our glycogen stores are going to be more full. That extra glycogen is going to soak up more water. So the scale will typically be something like 3 to 5 pounds heavier by like the point where we are something like, I don't know, 4 to 8 weeks out of the diet. You typically will see it come up. Now that's not fat gain. That's again, those other factors that I mentioned, but it can be very easy to like, oh, have I blown it? Have I already gained 5 pounds of body fat? No, right? It's going to be, again, we just have more glycogen, more gut content, et cetera. Similarly, because you have more food in your belly, you will never feel like you look quite as lean, like in that reverse diet phase, or very rarely will we, as we did like at the end of the diet, right? You will literally have more food in your belly. So your gut content will not like where we have crazy distension or anything, but like your abs might be a little bit more blurry than they were previously. And that is just such a normal thing, such a normal part of the reverse diet process. But it's so easy to like, oh, I don't look exactly like I did the last day of the diet when I like look at my absolute leanest. Anything to add there?
Yeah, I always like to make it a point that, you know, we're trying to maintain your physique post-diet. So mm-hmm. we're trying to maintain your physique, not a mm-hmm. number on the scale.
Right.
And, you know, no, we're not really trying to like immortalize how you looked and felt on the last day of your diet kind of thing. It's just not going to happen. And like you said, with the increase in food, I mean, just think about it simply, you know, you are literally putting more food into your body. You will weigh.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's all I have to add there.
Okay. What do you got next for us?
Not feeling amazing after a deload. This comes up a lot. I think a lot of people think after a deload that they're going to be feeling mentally refreshed, physically refreshed, and they're just like going to get back in the gym, you know, and it's going to be like gangbusters, like PRs left and right. And like, man, I'm just going to feel so amazing. I really have yet to see this play out. I think you might be feeling mentally refreshed after some time off. And so that's kind of where the dissonance happens, is that, you know, mentally you're kind of like ready and raring to go, and you get in there and you're like, wait, you know, and maybe like, you know, you try to go for the weights and reps that you were using pre-deload. And maybe those feel like heavy and really challenging. And you're like, I don't get it. So I'll always say, like, usually it takes, you know, 1 or 2 weeks to kind of get back to feeling in the groove with training again. Right. That's normal. So, you know, I would say for anyone going into a deload, just kind of manage your expectations. In terms of, you know, what you can expect on the other side of a deload, it's normal.
Yeah. Normally that first week post deload again, isn't the week where you feel your best in the gym. I think like the second week and after that is typically when you get back in a little bit more of a groove, but it does take time to get back into it. All right. Next up, you wrote having smaller lasts than your boss. Do you want to speak to that?
I did not write that. Cannot relate.
All right. Questioning the process. What do you got for us there?
Whatever phase you're in, whatever you're working through, I think it's really, you know, we like to really talk about how whatever you're doing, there's really no instant gratification with this work. It's going to take time. Like fat loss takes time, muscle building. And you think fat loss takes time, like try building muscle, right? Takes time. If you're working through a health phase, like, man, that can really take time. And I wish that all of those processes were completely linear. Like I wish they were so linear and you could tie them up in a nice little bow and like be on your way. But that's just not the case. Like there are going to be bumps along the way. There are going to be stalls, plateaus, which are going to make you question the process. Like, hey, am I actually doing the right thing here? Like, yeah. Is this what I should be doing? Like, is this working? That's normal.
Absolutely. I know, like I definitely have that come up in my own training and nutrition still, right? Where it's like, man, am I really making progress as quickly? Or like, I didn't progress this week. I didn't get stronger this week. Like, am I doing something wrong? Do we need to change the program? Something of the sort, right? Those things come up, and they'll oftentimes come up a lot. And it is so important to look at the bigger picture. It's also okay to, again, like, I think there can be a time where you can turn in your own worst enemy here if you struggle to see things objectively, right? If we're always like, I just don't think this is working for me, so I need to do something else, right? And so we have to assess. I think one of the most important things to assess there first is, have I truly done this extremely well for a long enough period of time? But even within that, like, even if you're making great progress, it's normal for there to be days and even weeks where it's like, man, have I really progressed that much? Have I really gone anywhere? Just such a normal part of all of this, right? And again, like being able to look at things in the long term is so important there. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, needing accountability. I'm going to steal this from you and speak to it first. I love this one because this has been one of the biggest changes for me. I think that accepting this about myself has made such a huge difference in my life. And I've talked about this a lot with like hiring my first coach. So when I hired my first coach in, what was it, 2017 or 2018, I was at a point previously where I had really, really struggled with my nutrition. I was never able to get as lean as I wanted. I'd never been able to. And I also really, really struggled to be able to maintain. I went through a lot of yo-yo dieting, and I was always, again, just trying to do like so many mental gymnastics with myself. Very similar to what we talked about with the motivation thing, where it's like, at some point I'm going to have that epiphany where I'm just going to be finally like motivated enough because I figured out whatever thing about myself, and I won't need like, I'll just be able to do this. I'll be hella disciplined all the time. And what I realized is it's kind of looking at it as internal change versus external change, right? Internal change, basically doing things on your own and like completely changing like your, so for me, it was I'm someone who really struggles without accountability. I don't like that. I still struggle to accept that with like the persona, like how I would like to perceive myself and like the person that I am. I don't want to like have to tell myself that I'm someone who struggles more without accountability, but it's 100% true. And like one of the most helpful things for me was accepting that. And so, okay, rather than just always relying on myself to be more disciplined and motivated, that's internal change. What can I change externally, right? That'll really help me. And I know for me, like hiring a coach, it changed so much because I hate to let people down. Especially like someone I respect, and especially if I'm investing money in it, right? To where if I have a coach, like it's, especially with my nutrition, right? I'd say I love training. I love nutrition too, but it's so much, again, I love food. So it is so much easier for me to get so loose with my nutrition if I don't have accountability. Even now, definitely still is. So because of that, I just always work with a coach and it is that just, I like, and that's something I need, but again, it gets me the outcome that I want. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, this came up with a few clients this week. And actually, I just wrote something in our Facebook community about this, like a little bit earlier today. But it came up and it was just like, it's, you know, someone was basically like, you know, we were going back and forth about like her weekend, which she managed very well. And she was like, yeah, I just don't think I would have if I didn't know that I had a check-in on Monday morning. And I was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, and then, you know, it got me thinking about myself, who clearly values coaching and, you know, has had many coaches and, you know, as a coach now. And like, to our earlier point about the fact that food is delicious, I mean, I could 100% see myself getting sloppy. You know, oh, yeah. I'm not, I do think that, you know, I'll give myself enough credit that I don't think I would, you know, totally shit the bed, you know, on some things. But, you know, something like, you know, my mom leaving out a bowl of candy at our house.
Right.
I would totally get sloppy with that. Or like going to a backyard barbecue. And, you know, like positioning myself right next to the chip bowl.
Next thing you know, you pooped your bed at night.
Basically. But have you heard that analogy?
I've heard you say it a lot and it always cracks me up. But that's the first time. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a good one. But, you know, like that weekly check-in is pretty powerful. You know, I am someone who's intrinsically motivated, but then you add a layer of extrinsic motivation and accountability on top of that. Mm-hmm. And you can accomplish a lot of things. So like, it's okay if you need that accountability. Again, there's nothing wrong with you. And then to speak again to today's food environment, where we're surrounded by so many delicious things, you know, that we can order on Uber Eats. Like it's a really tough food environment to be in. It's a tough society to live in and achieve and maintain a lean physique if that's something that's important to you.
Absolutely.
And of course, outside of physique enhancements, you know, I mean, this is why the career of a coach and a mentor exists.
Right.
You know, like life coaches, athletic coaches, all sorts of things. Like accountability is powerful. And there's nothing wrong with you if you need some.
Having a coach is basically like having leadership in your physique. Absolutely. And I'm the same way, right? So many things where it's like, I would love to do this. And again, this isn't to say like we never allow ourselves to do those things or that you shouldn't, right? Either, right? There's, because also like we, again, like so much of my building phase, like what I've been working through with Brandon as well, is like we have a day specifically where it's like, hey, Jeremiah, you have a lot more calories, you have a lot more flexibility. So we can like, Katie and I can go like have like a day date and things of that nature, right? So it's not to say these things are off limits, but there are so many instances still where it's like, man, I might not feel as motivated, but also I know how to check in with Brandon. And I do want to say that is important to me. Our work together is important to me. And that's a big part of what keeps me on point as well.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm like, especially like in like food environments, right? Like a margarita and some chips and salsa in front of you. It's so easy to just go in on those. I'm just thinking that because I was like in that instance the other day.
I have to say like since my recent time in Arizona, I am getting like the algorithm is giving me so many like Scottsdale and Phoenix recommendations. And I send them all to Katie and I'm like, damn, that looks good. Damn, that looks good. Like on the daily.
Katie and I are constantly sending those to each other as well. There are so many like food accounts here. All right. What do you got next?
Struggling with maintenance. Yeah. And this, I mean, so many of these, hopefully you can see that so many of these actually kind of go hand in hand with one mm-hmm. another, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, man, did we already sort of covered that. But yeah, you know, maintenance, this period where quote, nothing is happening. And of course, if you've been listening to this podcast or following us at all, you know, that's not true. But we don't feel that way. But, you know, struggling with maintenance in terms of like, this is boring, nothing's happening. Struggling with maintenance, like, hey, my weight's going up. You know, maybe we're like getting a little too comfortable, a little too flexible and like not maintaining. Getting maintenance wrong your first couple times. It's so normal. I've shit the bed on maintenance. I'll say it again. You know, like in my early work.
I would be terrified to see what your mattress looks like.
Oh my goodness. Okay. But you know, maintenance, I will always say that I think maintenance is the hardest phase for sure.
Oh yeah.
Like where you are really just like sitting pretty and chilling, you know, like things are going great. Probably you should feel pretty good. Like lifts should be feeling great in the gym, relationship with food. Good. You know, this is where you're really trying to strike that balance of like, what should your life really look like? What do you want your life to look like? You know, in right. terms of, like, hey, how many times a week are you going out? Like how flexible are you being with, how flexible can you be with your food? I think it's really normal to also test those limits a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and especially if you are a novice dieter or someone that's new to working on your nutrition, maybe you've just undergone your first like serious fat loss phase and you're coming out of it and you're like, wow, I'm back, you know, back at maintenance, calories are higher. And you know, maybe your first maintenance phase back didn't go so well and you regained some weight. This is pretty normal.
Yeah. That is exactly the point I was going to make. I think so many coaches like to paint the picture of we got this person lean and they never struggle again, thanks to my coaching. Yeah. But the reality is, and this, I've gone through this. I imagine you've had very similar experiences. And almost every client I've worked with, if this is your first time, like if you reach a level of leanness that you've never been able to reach before, or like we just like accomplished the thing for the first time, almost always, because it's, and that's again why like very few people want to like start coaching to be coached through maintenance. But as you said, it is probably the most important time because maintenance is a skill. Again, most people have been able to lose body fat. It's the ability to maintain it that most people struggle with. I think it's one of the hardest skills to master. And it does just take work and intention, right? Where it is so incredibly common for, again, the client, like, hey, the first time we hit that goal, the first time we like did the thing and I've never been able to do it before, then when we get into maintenance, again, it's a whole new set of challenges we need to work through. And oftentimes those challenges are less around the like, I just need to push hard in my training, or I just need to like follow my meal plan or whatever it is. It's a lot more of the mental obstacles around now digging into, okay, in this situation, rather than just avoiding, because we're not like, it is easy in a diet to just like, okay, I'm going to try to avoid like going out. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas like, okay, now we're probably going out for more meals and like we are being more flexible. So that's when we have to actually do a lot more mental work around, okay, in this situation, why do I feel so compelled to overeat right now? Why do I feel compelled to drink more alcohol, whatever it may be? And it is so normal. Just like we talked about, challenges are normal. challenges and maintenance are normal. It is very normal for that first reverse diet slash maintenance phase. I think those two go pretty hand in hand. To see someone regain some of what they lost. Not all of it by any means, but it's often normal for it to like us to like, hey, we're 4 or 5 months into this. And maybe we do need to go through another fat loss phase eventually. And that's okay. But if we're willing to learn from that, it's again, just that stimulus for growth where typically after that, it's like, okay, the next time, I think we can really nail it. I think of like, she's on my mind, like, because I was on the phone with her yesterday, one of my former clients, Jenna, shout out to Jenna, where we had a crazy transformation. Like she made so much progress. It was so impressive. And after that, I remember her first maintenance phase. She is someone who is very social, would go out a lot and things of that nature, where there were a lot of challenges that came up in that. And we still like maintained so much of the progress, but we did like, she did gain some back, and we had to go through a subsequent diet phase. It was a lot shorter and a lot easier because also all the skills she'd learned there, but it took time. And again, just learning us, like learning through and like, again, just like people typically struggle at the start of the fat loss phase, like kind of struggling through that reverse diet and maintenance phase to eventually get it mastered. All right. But on that note, we are out of time for the day. So that is all we got for y'all. Hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. If you want to apply to work with our team, just click the link in the show notes, and we will catch you guys next time.